All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's deflated balls are making it their way through the entire nation and the news cycle. 11 of 12 footballs were it not at proper inflation during the game on Sunday. So yet another little mark next to the Patriots' name in the annals of history. And we'll see if anything comes of it before the Super Bowl. I'm sure there won't be, but we'll see if Roger Goodell decides to do anything. Again, doubtful. But again, Super Bowl about a week and a half away, and we'll have it here for you on WGCL, but plenty of time to talk about that. In the meantime, IU basketball at a spot, I think going into the season, a lot of people thought could be worse, would like to be as good, and would always like to be better. But with a big, big prove-it game tomorrow night here at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington with Maryland coming to town, top 10 ranked. Maryland right now, the other and the bigger surprise right now in the Big Ten, 13th ranked currently. Maryland 5-1 in the Big Ten, 17-2 overall with a pair of wins over Michigan State. And of course, that means in the Breslin Center in overtime. But this is a good Maryland team. It's a little bit of a surprising Maryland team. There's no question. These two teams were picked to by the media to finish 9th and 10th in the Big Ten. It's a well-rounded team. And I think for the first time, certainly in the Big Ten season, what we're going to see, what the Hoosiers are going to see, rather, is they're going to see a team that can throw some decent bigs at them. This is not a bunch of 7-foot studs, but it is a bunch of 6'8", 6'9 guys that can rebound the ball, that can do a decent job defensively inside. Not all of them are big scorers, but they do have a couple big kind of swing players. Jake Lehman's one of the top scorers in the Big Ten right now. But Glass, as far as testing the inside game, and Colin Hartman's done about as good as you could hope for from a guy coming off a knee surgery in April, to try to man that center spot, this is going to, I think, test the inside once and for all, because they can throw some bodies, they can throw some good bodies, and they can throw several of them in a couple different waves. We haven't really seen that. I mean, Nana Egwu went out for Illinois, and it was the 6'7 youngster show for Illinois, and honestly, those guys were better than Egwu, but not a lot of teams have a lot of bodies up front to throw out there. Maryland happens to be one of those teams.
Yep, they've got length, they've got athleticism, they've got good point guard play. Put that all together, and you got a pretty good basketball team. There's not a you don't fluke it to 17-2 unless you're playing in some league that just doesn't get it. And if you've won at Michigan State in double overtime, let's remember the kids were gone when that game happened. I don't if you want to get into home court advantages or lack thereof. They didn't.
Still not easy to win there.
They're not easy to win there, but the kids weren't there, let's be fair. But then they did lose at Illinois. But yeah, you got numbers, you got guys. The crazy thing about Maryland is the reason they were ranked by an IU, they lost four players from last year. A couple of them started. Turgeon kind of turned things over and said, hey, look, we got guys that are that aren't going to play, and guys are going to be a pain in the rear end that we're going to clean house and start over. And to wipe the slate clean and have to and be able to be this good this fast, I think probably shocked a lot of Maryland fans as well. But it's really simple formula. It's not hard at all. When you get a premium player like Melo Trimble, your fortunes can change almost immediately. Ask Indiana how they did when Cody Zeller showed up on campus. Ask them how that worked out. Well, it changed. It changed a lot of things. And when you have a kid that can play like that, Des Wells has been around forever.
And that's a nice pickup, obviously, a big, thick guy and a transfer.
And he was hurt at some point. I think he was there last year and got hurt and missed most of the year he transferred. I think after his sophomore, he got kicked out of Xavier for alleged behavioral issues. Maybe had some problems with the law as well. I can't remember all the I'd have to re-Google all of that. But they do have some height. They do have some length, and they're active. If you watch them play, they're not a stand-around team and wait for. They're not like Michigan at all. Michigan always has these great-looking bodies, but they never put any pressure on you or do anything. Maryland's got guys that can jump in the passing lane. I watched the game against Michigan State. They had six different guys hit a three in the first half against Michigan State. That was at home. I get it. That is a little bit different. But the point is, they have guys that can play, and you don't fluke it in the Big Ten to 5-1. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Again, two wins in against Michigan State. So Tom Izzo got to see him once, got to see him twice, and got blown out the second time. Let's be fair.
And
let's call it what it happened.
Against
they got
this
blown
year's
out.
Big Ten, I mean, they've had a couple benefits of the schedule. schedule, playing Rutgers, playing at Purdue, playing at Illinois and Minnesota.
Purdue's all teams 3-2.
All teams that are struggling a little bit, at least this night. But yeah. But again, you're right. I mean, you don't go to the Breslin Center and win in that and then turn around and do it again on your own home court more easily. I just don't – 5-1, especially for a team that doesn't know what they're walking into in all these arenas, it's extremely impressive.
It is.
And they had a couple pretty good wins in the pre-conference also.
And the other thing is Minnesota at the time was good. That wasn't a terrible Minnesota team yet.
I've got more respect for Minnesota than I think their record deserves.
Minnesota has what? Guards. They have guards every single year, and Minnesota beat them.
If you look at Minnesota in the Big Ten, they have been in every game. I mean, they've been tight in every game and just haven't been on the right end of it.
And part of it's unlucky, and part of it's what it is. I can't find the stats for the Illinois game. I've clicked on 3 different links on the Maryland page, and I can't get them. Maybe I'll try the Illinois
game. On their Illinois game?
Yeah, because I think they shot the ball so poorly in that game. I'm not throwing
they
it
lost
out.
At Illinois. They only scored 57
points. That was the other thing.
They
jumped
shot
off the page.
Really poorly.
I think they shot 28% all day long.
It was 36.5%, 19 of 52.
Not good.
Trimble was 6 of 14.
Okay.
Pac was was 1 of 7.
That's the other guy.
Des Wells was 2 of 8.
There you go.
Jake Lehman 10 and 4.
Not good.
He's
enough.
Been averaging what 14 and 6 or 14 and 7.
Not
something like
good
that.
Enough on the road. So The point of the matter is they have guys that can fill it up. Have been doing it. You caught them on an off night at Illinois, and Illinois won the basketball game. Fair to them. But again, winning at Purdue, not terrible. Painter's got them playing better. The Boilermakers are 3-2 in league play, and Rutgers is going to be Rutgers. We know what that is. That was coming off the Wisconsin game. You knew that wasn't going to happen at all. But again, put up a decent fight. So here's the thing: Maryland is going to be the best they've seen 8 deep, I think, as opposed to maybe Michigan State's 5 versus their 5 is close.
Right.
On any given day, and who else? Nebraska doesn't factor in the conversation. Indiana, Illinois, okay, you have the common opponent. You want to look at it that way. Again, I wasn't impressed with Illinois. That was Illinois' first game without Revonte Rice.
I think IU has played a couple dogfight teams that aren't necessarily impressive, but they're dogfight teams in Illinois and Minnesota.
In
Michigan
Indiana.
State, you got the traditionally one of the class of the Big Ten, maybe not going to be their best year at the end of the year, but certainly always tough. Look, there's a couple comparisons.
Michigan State
you can
could
make,
have 3 losses at the end of the year. If you look at their schedule, we did on Monday, there's not a lot to look at there.
Nope.
But the point for Indiana is Indiana squeaked by a bad Penn State team at home. They squeaked by an Ohio State team that was terrible on the day, squeaked by them at home, and had a good win at Illinois. So Indiana has some, I don't want to say validating to do. If they win this game by 3 points, no one's going to care at all. They're 1-point underdogs to open things up for tomorrow night. But you win, you go to the top of the league. And I think it's the first time this team and this group of players, including Troy Williams, Stanford Robinson, Hannah Perea, Colin Hartman, have dealt with any kind of an expectation, have dealt with any kind of, hey, look, we're not going to talk about, we're going to internalize this, we're not going to look at the polls. You want to bet?
Oh, well.
You want to bet? You're going to say that in the press conference.
Everybody will be talking about them if they beat Maryland.
That's exactly
but you know what again,
this
team has been a surprise so far in the Big Ten.
Does this team have the maturity to go out tomorrow night and take care of business in a game that's going to put them in a tie for first place in the Big Ten?
That's
the question.
That is the question. That's a good question.
They
have been impressive so far over what we thought they would be in the Big Ten, and here's a chance to stamp that as legit. Certainly.
It is.
We've got to take a quick break. Again, that phone number, 333-2665. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball tonight as they've got a big game tomorrow night at Assembly Hall, 9 o'clock on ESPNU, I believe we said it was. The Maryland Terrapins come to town, their first visit to Bloomington, at least as a Big Ten member, as they're visiting everybody for the first time as a Big Ten member. But 5-1 in the conference, 17-2 overall. Not a extremely daunting out-of-conference schedule, but there's a couple names on there. They did lose to Virginia as their one out-of-conference loss. Their one in-conference loss was at Illinois on a week. I think that was a weekend game. But anyways, the first game Illinois had after losing Revonte Rice. But then again, they won at the Breslin Center in overtime and turned the the twofer on Michigan State this past weekend by beating them in College Park. So, I mean, this is a quality team. And as we mentioned, it doesn't go 3-4-5 deep with some decent players. It goes 6-7-8 deep with guys that are going to challenge you at just about every spot. Start at the point guard here with Melo Trimble. Here's a freshman guard. We've got a couple of them ourselves. What makes this guy so good? And is this a Yogi thing? Is this a Robert Johnson thing? I know there's got to be team to some degree, but Yogi's played a lot of defense as a focus, I think more so in the last couple weeks for this basketball team's, I think, been better, partly because of they've been able to shut something down. Can he shut down Melo Trimble? Do you even want him to?
I don't know if anybody's going to do that. He's a freshman. Make him turn it over. Make him play fast. Get him uncomfortable. And one thing that we know when teams come into the Assembly Hall, especially top 25 teams, they don't play very well. They're 11-2. Those are the facts. Do what you want with them. If you think Maryland, based on their record, just going to come in here and walk in and play, I bet some of them are going to have their cameras out, taking some pictures of the place, and that factors into it. That's why Indiana has beaten some good teams. Indiana's beaten some teams in the Big Ten on their home court over the last few years that they shouldn't have beaten. We can flash back to last year, a 17-15 team that wasn't very good, handled the third-ranked Wisconsin Badgers on a night where the game wasn't even close. Indiana ran roughshod on them. They're going to have to play better, because I think the one factor that goes into these new teams, Maryland and Rutgers, is they don't care. They're not wowed by the tradition of the Big Ten.
They don't have all the memories where they got creamed by 35.
The five banners they've seen on TV, they're going to look, they're going to take a picture of, and the shoot around and be over. But it's not going to be – this isn't some daunting Indiana team that's been ranked in the top 25 for the last 15 straight years. This isn't Kansas, who has won 10 straight Big 12 championships. This is a team that Maryland is looking to make their mark on, not the other way around. Do they have enough experience and chutzpah to do it? That'll be the question. Freshman point guards on the road in the Big Ten. Go look up what Trimble shot against Michigan State. Go ahead. I think it was 1-15. James Blackman Jr.-esque. I don't think it was very good. Maybe I'm getting James Blackman and Trimble confused. But I think he had a tough shooting game that night. I think he made everything from the foul line, which he will do. He shoots 89% from the line. So, again, in a close game, you've got Indiana that makes a lot of free throws. Maryland shoots it at 76%.
2 of 13.
See, there you go. Not always easy to translate on the road in Big Ten play. But what Maryland has is options. They've got multiple guys doing multiple things, and they know the pecking order. It doesn't seem like they fight for shots when you watch them play. Mm-hmm. They share the basketball. All five guys can touch it. Tom Crean talked about that in his press conference today. He said, this is going to be one of the first teams where all five guys can hurt you. Illinois couldn't hurt you with five guys.
Right.
Penn State definitely couldn't hurt you with five guys. Amir Williams is dead weight for Ohio State. So you can go and point to those things. So that's a pretty nice compliment from Crean, saying to all five guys on the floor, you have to pay attention to. You can't take somebody, lay him off Egwu, and make Egwu shoot 15 footers and beat you. That's
not
like going to be the case.
Starks from Nebraska. 333-2665 is our phone number. Looking at only at Big Ten stats here, because this is when you start getting into some patterns, I think, with the better teams on your schedule. The second best field goal percentage team, or I should say 3-point percentage team in the Big Ten is Maryland.
There you go.
They shoot it at just over 35%. However, they are the worst field goal percentage team in the Big Ten at just over 37%. So
Big Ten games only.
They don't shoot. Yeah, and this is Big Ten games only. They don't shoot much better everywhere else.
Halftime of the Michigan State game number one, 17-14 at halftime.
Uh-huh.
100 shots were missed.
Okay.
Throw that in there, and then throw in the stinker they had at Illinois. Right there is what, a third of their schedule? Six games. And two of them were awful shooting nights, so I can see why they get at that.
Well, those weren't too far off their average. 36% is
bad.
36%, that's what they average.
That's why they lost those games, right. So they found a way to win. They beat Michigan State with that because they made 1,000 free throws that night. That was the key at East Lansing. They shot it really well against Michigan State at Maryland. And the second time they got together, but they didn't, as you told me earlier, they didn't make anything at Illinois. That's fine. But they do shoot free throws exceptionally well. They're 76% from the line. So when you get Maryland in there, Indiana has been known to guard the three-point shot pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But guess who's got the worst scoring defense in the league? Indiana. So again, everybody has a little bit of give. Everybody has a little bit of take. It'll be interesting to see what Mark Turgeon does. Mark Turgeon was a coach at Texas A&M before he came to Maryland, and it's a guy who's always been kind of sniffing around, but he's never had that breakthrough team. Remember,
was he at Tulsa?
I can't remember if he was at Tulsa.
Creighton? He was at one of those.
Not at Creighton. I thought he was at Texas A&M.
Well, he may have been before Maryland, but I thought he was somewhere else before.
But he's had some decent teams throughout, but he's just never had that one breakthrough
Wichita
team.
State.
There you go. And well, he was at A&M, wasn't he? Am I losing my mind?
No, you're right. He was at Wichita State for 8 years.
And then he went to...
And then four at A&M.
And then took a ACC job that turned into a Big Ten job. So yeah. They weren't real pleased with him entering this year. They saw the kids leave.
By 17 and 15 years, we know about that.
Right, and they thought with the four kids leaving, half of them transferring, the other two not wanting to be there, they thought this would be the year that...
They can get rid of him.
What would blow up in his face.
Right.
And it's amazing what happens when you stick a McDonald's All-American on there that can play and tremble. So you have a point guard who handles the ball all the time. He does rebound well. He gets four boards a game as well. Maryland really spreads out their rebounding. Again, Tom Crean nailed this. And we talked about this on Monday. It's a long team.
Yeah.
It's an athletic team.
They
and they don't
you.
Stand around.
Yeah.
If you watch them play, it's not a team that stands and waits for Trimble to do something. They've got moving parts, and they've got guys that are very athletic and very long. And, again, it should tune up for a great meeting. What do you do if you're Indiana? Well, it's pretty simple. You outscore your opponent. That has been your driving force the entire year. A better team than Illinois, you can't get ran out of your own gym. You know that. And usually you shoot it a little bit better at home. Indiana, one-point underdog. That's what you wanted to see. That's perfect.
Who do you want to see as an IU fan out of this game?
No one, because I figure everybody's going to play. It's going to be a good basketball game.
No, I mean,
game,
so from Maryland. I mean, if you're attacking somebody and you want to give him foul charge, you want to get Lehman out of there because he's a matchup issue
always,
for you?
No, you always want the point guard. You always want
Melo Trimble averaging right. 16.
Driving the bus, you want him out.
Melo Trimble averaging 16 points a game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, as you mentioned. And, you know, again, McDonald's All-American, as you said, but has been producing on the road. And
he can shoot it. He can penetrate. He's 6'3", 190. He's not wispy.
88% free throws,
yeah, and it's
as
automatic
you mentioned.
At the line.
And let's be clear here, 138 free throw attempts. So he's getting to the line.
19,
there's no question 20 about
games,
that.
Yeah, it's 6 a game, so that's pretty good. And if you get in a late game situation and you're trailing, he's going to the line. He's going to make both.
He's
going to
make them. 3-3-3.
Maybe not on the not on the road, hopefully.
Hopefully not. 2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Jay. How you doing, Jay?
Good evening, gentlemen. Long time, no talk.
Happy New
while.
Year. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, as well. The Hoosiers have been a pleasant surprise. I'll give them some credit. And my only major concern that I have is that Yogi's play. I like the assists. I like the defensive effort that he gives. Going 1-for-9. You know, he's had back-to-back poor shooting games. It's a little bit concerning for me. Because if he's off consistently and Stan's not playing well and Blackman's having it, I mean, that's just the recipe for destruction and losses, as we saw in the Michigan State game. So I think they kind of need to pull him aside and say, hey, you're our one guard. You know, stop jacking up these shots, taking bad shots, going 1-for-9, because we don't have the rebounding that other teams do. You get all these bad shots you're taking.
I don't disagree with that wholeheartedly, because I've had the same feeling. Yogi's taking some bad shots in the shot clock, plus 20 and plus 25 that you just don't need with the clock.
Right.
When he's shooting it under 10, I got no problem
when
with
they
that.
They stick in his hands.
He's
a
bailout guy.
Out,
he's a bailout guy at the end of the shot clock, and he has been his entire career.
He's 5 of 25 in the last 3 Big Ten
But he
games.
Still has that, I'm going to fix this because you're standing and you're not moving, so I'm just going to go ahead and dig us out of the hole. When those shots go in, it looks great. And you're right. We talked about this on Monday, Jay. When he is not our leading scorer, Indiana's unbeaten in league play. That's simple as it is. It's simplistic. It's true. But he has not shot the ball well, and Indiana has found a way to win. So I don't think it's as dires we're making it out to be. If Indiana was 1-4 right now and you had a problem,
that'd
be the issue.
That's the one way I'd
but
flip
you've
it around.
Survived it
you've
to
seen
here.
Some. You've seen some good assist numbers. You're not seeing 16 shot attempts in most games.
No,
he took it in Michigan State because nobody else was there. But
right.
The other games have been 9 or less. Maybe that's a couple too many based on how well he's shooting or not shooting right now.
It's a couple decisions in the clock that I don't.
He's
agree
gone
with.
4-for-4 and 7-of-8 on free throws in 2 of the last 3 games. What's interesting to me about this team is going into the season and looking at it even midway through the season, if we were going through this and we say Blackman struggles or Yogi struggles, we're going to struggle. And yet they're 4-1 with Yogi not contributing all that much scoring the ball. So to me, I look at it as there's a lot of possibility here for Yogi to find his way back into this offense and for this team to be even better.
And the reason he can find his way back in, Jay, is because it's not forced on him night after night like it was last year.
He's got options.
He's
he
got,
doesn't have to go
he has,
after
he has other people. And the other point of this, simply, I said before the season started a million times on this program, and I'm not tooting my own horn, if Yogi Ferrell led us in scoring this year, we wouldn't be very good.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I like that I think Indiana has struggled with has been a defensive identity, and I think
When you can't guard anyway, you can't. It's hard to play any kind of defense when you can't guard the guy right in front of you. I agree with that.
Right. So, like, for that me ain't
gonna,
personally,
that's not going to change.
we're going to have to stay zone against a team such as Maryland, where they have that dribble drive penetration style offense.
What is Indiana's best defense, Jay? Scoring the basketball. Simple as that. Indiana puts pressure on other teams by scoring them and getting out and leading. That's what Indiana's pressure comes from. It doesn't come from man-to-man. It doesn't come from their rebounding. It doesn't come from their half-court defense. Their pressure on other teams comes from putting the ball in the hoop.
Well, what I find interesting is that I never thought Hunter was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we find out he's injured. And all of a sudden, certain IU fans are like, "Oh my God, the sky is falling!" And I'm thinking here, please tell me when the dang guy showed up, because you look at the stat sheet, I think he might have had two good games before he got injured, where you said, "Wow, this guy's progressing, coming along," and then he falls off the face of the earth.
I don't think Indiana is good enough to go into any game shorthanded. I don't think they have the talent from 1-9 to go into any game and say, "Hey, look, without Davis or Perea, we're going to be okay."
It has been making up for an inside weakness all year long. It got weaker. You didn't lose Akeem Olajuwon. I mean, well, let's be fair about that. But you lost an awfully good player at a spot you didn't have very many at.
Why are we giving scholarships to when you need immediate help at your inside game? Why are we giving scholarships out to guys who we're being told up front he's at least a year from being able to play for us and help us?
Are you talking about Emmett Holt?
Not Holt.
April and Priller?
April.
Well, you're always going to have 13, 14, 15 on your roster. That's just how it's going.
The amazing thing about freshmen that do play a lot and contribute a lot in the Big Ten is that they're unusual. Now, maybe they've become more usual over the years because they are so good and they get such a better training nowadays than they do. But you got these guys like this. Let's be fair. Emmett Holt was the last recruit they signed.
August.
And he's the best of that end of the group, if you will, by far. And I don't think there's any question. They're dealing with a weakness there, and it was made much weaker without Perea. Perea didn't have to be a huge number guy. He had to be a guy that made it hard in the middle of field or in the middle of the court on defense, and he had to be a guy that got some garbage buckets and some garbage rebounds for you. And I think he gave you at least a little bit of that. He was not overly impressive, but he had a couple games. You're exactly right, but it's a loss for this team. I mean, they're playing Colin Hartman, who had knee surgery in April. He's amazing that Colin Hartman's on the floor. We were told when he first got in one of those first games, they probably had to limit him to 15 to 20 minutes a game.
I still do,
and he's playing 26 a game the last few games.
Let's be honest here. I don't think that in today's game, if you've got shooters and you've got guards who can play defense, having that dominant 6'10", 6'11 guy kind of falls by the wayside, especially if you have a kid who's 6'7", who's 6'8", who has a wingspan of 7'1", or 7'2".
Take it one more step, Jay. It's effort. If you get kids to play
hard,
kids that are recruited to play Big Ten basketball should have basketball skills, right? We all know that. It's getting them to play hard 18 conference games in a row where they come out and they're ready to play in about 16 of them. You're going to have an off night every now and again. We saw
Absolutely. It.
It's going to happen to every team. Every team in the league is going to have one of those nights. I get it. But you got it. Colin Hartman, we shouldn't be marveling that he can play. He got a scholarship to Indiana. He should be able to play. People are saying,
he's not a center, and he's 9 months off of knee surgery. That's the part about Colin Hartman.
No, he has basketball talent because he recruited and played IU.
Sure.
So it's not some kind of reclamation project where it's some guy that came over from Kenya.
When he's your center 9 months after knee surgery, that's what makes it interesting.
If you want to call him your center, that's fine. It's not. They don't play with a center. A lot of basketball
teams are matching up against.
They don't play with centers. They play with guys that go places and do things. And if Indiana goes small in their lineup, that's fine. Hartman's a smart basketball player. He plays hard. That's great. You want a 6'10 guy that's lazy and doesn't do anything? I'll take the 6'5 guy that plays hard. It's not hard to figure out.
I'd rather space the floor right now. It's working.
You can go back to Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller was not your quote-unquote prototypical center outside of how tall he was. He is more or less a wing forward.
He spent most of his time in the lane, at least. They're making plays for Colin Hartman to get out of the lane.
If he was in high school, he became a worse shooter when he came to Indiana than he was coming out of high school.
I think the competition level went up a little bit. Let's be fair, Jay.
Somebody defended.
If you can hit a 15-footer in high school, you can hit a 15-footer.
He wasn't asked to do that. That wasn't his role. They had enough guys to do that where he didn't have to do that. So I think Cody Zeller's a really nice player. He's better from 8 feet and in than he is from 8 to 16 feet. I think he's showing that at the NBA level as well. It's not like he's getting 15 a game, knocking down jump shot after jump shot for the Hornets. So we'll worry about Cody at some other point. We got to hit a break. Good job as always. Okay. Good catching up with you. Happy New Year as always. The thing for Indiana is they haven't ran into a team yet without Hannah Perea that is physical, that rebounds and crashes the boards and has interior players that can score and defend. Maryland's going to pose some of that problem tomorrow night. But not a lot of teams are like that. There's a lot of guard-heavy teams in the league, a lot of turnover in the league, and a lot of injuries in the league. And Indiana's right in the middle of all that. So that's their worst combinations to have.
And let's be fair, the one bad example for the Hoosiers is at the Breslin Center, where it's the team that does crash the boards hard, and the guys who have made up for the absence of Perea, which is Williams and Hartman and a couple of the guys, they didn't show up in that game. So that's what's a bit concerning about tomorrow.
Perea couldn't even get on the floor in that game because he was in foul trouble again.
That's exactly right. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, Friday night we've got high school basketball back on the airwaves. A little different schedule. Chalk Talk is 7:30 and tip off at 8 o'clock because we're in the central time zone over in Ellettsville for Owen Valley at Edgewood. Again, 8 o'clock tip on that, but the black and blue rivalry over there, always well-spirited games between the two of them. No NFL football because we only got one game left, and we'll have that on the 1st of February, the Super Bowl, of course, New England, playing the Seattle Seahawks.
As of right now.
They will inflate the balls, and I'm sure somebody will be watching them the entire time.
We'll see who coaches New England.
Yeah, I think I know the answer to that. 333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in our friend, John. How you doing, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Happy New Year.
I got a question for both of you.
Fire.
Same question. I agree with what Glass said. If you're going to be going to get a scholarship to school like Indiana or any big D1 school, you should be able to play. And obviously we have a crying need inside for big men to play, or post players to play. I'll just say post player rather than big men. We got two guys that are freshmen that can't see the court right now, and given the fact you got Juwan Morgan coming in next year,
well, Holt's playing. Let's give Holt some credit. He's not.
Holt's a keeper. He's been decent. Yeah, and I'm not bashing Tom Crean.
Right.
I want to make that very clear. He's recruited very well. I mean, especially when it comes to wings. He is excellent.
And I think you're starting to answer your own question here. I think what interests him more is the guy that can play 3.5 positions more than the guy that just has to take up places in the lane.
That. And the team he's got now is the same kind of team he had when he left Marquette, when he had Gerald McNeil,
Crowder,
Matthew
and all those,
Jr.,
yeah.
both in the NBA, Dominic James, and he didn't have a really – Lazar Hayward was, I think, who played a little bit in the NBA, like 6'6". But he's recruiting. He's recruit base with Cody and Bonley. So
I know, and I think that's the paradox that goes into it. Because let's be fair, those Marquette teams with those guys you just mentioned weren't winning the Big East. They weren't getting deep into the NCAA tournament. So I don't know if that is the right formula. But you're right.
The one time when he had the big dog.
Well, when you have one of the top 10 players in the last 30 years in the NBA, that's going to help everybody, sure. Mm-hmm. No question about it. They still went and did it. I understand that. But it's interesting to see because it was so big man dominated to start with. But how many big men are really out there? Look at Kentucky. They got 9 of them.
Yeah,
all the guys go to Kentucky.
Again, if Kentucky
is
the benchmark for size, then you're vastly overrating everybody.
Jahlil Okafor, how good is Okafor for Duke? He's unbelievable. He shoots 70% from the field. He's a man in a 6'10 body at age 18. There's not a lot of those guys. So when you talk about height, you have to take a chance on some projects if you don't have the Vonleys and the Zellers put together. And you're filling roster spots. If you've got 12 scholarships to use, you're going to have guys that are 11 and 12 that are not going to factor into that decision.
It's pretty clear he doesn't want this team to be playing without a pair of 6'9", 6'10", guys in the middle. He had Luke Fisher on the roster with not expecting him to be leaving for the NBA early. He had Hannah Perea on the roster before he had Luke Fisher on the roster. It's not, I mean, Vonleh and Zeller, you can easily make the argument they were going to be gone early at some point in time anyway. Sure. So he had to plan behind him, and there were plans behind him. And they haven't worked out at all. And right. So now all of a sudden you're scrambling and playing a different set of lineups.
Guys on the bench that can't even get on the floor. That's the thing I'm saying.
Look, John, you've probably heard me say this. And I say it all the time in football. You can say it just as easily in basketball. You play on the floor because of how you look in practice, how you work, and how you look, and whether you're ready at that point in time. Every fan out there goes, well, gosh, we got this 6'11 guy. Why don't you just throw him out there and see what he can do? No, they know what he can do and what he can't do. They watch it every day on a regular basis. They know what he can and can't do. He might give you a 30-second spurt that excites a couple fans.
Against
Louisville. But if they're not playing now, it's because they're not good enough to play now.
Well, then my question is, then why would you bother to recruit him when you're bringing in a guy next year who's going to play ahead of both of these guys right now?
Because
you need somebody right now.
You wanted a body right now.
Well, that
and a walk-on would do the job, wouldn't he?
Then you've answered your
Ryan Burton.
I don't know.
You've answered your question, I think, in the sense that you put these pieces in order, and if everybody develops at the same time, no one's going to come here because they've got guys in front of them. So if you're going for competition, if you think, well, Perea was supposed to do the job this year, and then his backup would be
the worst thing that ever happened to Perea was being ranked as a top 10 recruit as a sophomore or a junior or whatever it was, because then all of a sudden everybody got expectations that he was going to be some great athletic playmaker all over the place, and he was clearly never that.
But
then how do all these great ranking services get him in the top 10 or 15 all of a sudden?
Because they don't know what they're doing.
But the problem is the fans who don't know this listen to that.
Look, I made a mistake. I told a guy, a friend of mine, who I saw Perea play, and he asked me what I thought. I said he's a Ray Tolbert athlete without the Ray Tolbert ball skills.
Well,
Ray Tolbert was a top 5 player in the class of Magic Johnson. And I knew Perea would never be that kind of player.
And Yogi Ferrell is our Isaiah Thomas. That's not fair in the least bit. But he's short, and he hands the ball, and he scores a lot of points.
He wears 11.
Yeah, it's not fair because we're always going to use those names.
But Yogi has proven he is that good. He's that good of a player. He's as good as you thought he'd be when you recruited him, right?
Understand. But that kind of thing is unfair to the kid. Now, Perea clearly didn't do nearly the work that he needed to do to get to that point, but now he's a junior. As a freshman, he didn't play. He had to sit out for quite a while,
and John,
too.
You could,
sophomore, he didn't play.
Back to your point, John, maybe these two 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", kids that are coming here next year see the writing on the wall that there's no one in front of them they can step in and play.
Yes.
One of those 6'8 guys is a wing guy, Lou.
Well, they're all wing guys. You got to be a wing.
They're both decent rebounders from what I've seen statistically.
On the same tapes that everybody saw Perea.
Exactly. I'm not saying they're Dennis Rodman, but.
That's the point. The point is skilled, serious big man. How did you get involved with Vonleh? Answer that question. You know how he got involved with Vonleh? Kenny? Was it Kenny Johnson? Who took care of that on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he had a big-time recruiter that got you Vonleh, right?
Well, you also got him Troy Williams, too.
Oh, that's my point.
When everybody and their brother thought Troy Williams was going to North Carolina or Florida or Louisville.
Okay, so what happens? Your staff turns over, and all of a sudden you got a couple years where you're recruiting kids from Bumble Hillbilly, Missouri, and I don't even know where the other kid's from.
They're both from out that
Missouri.
Direction somewhere.
Well, okay, so again, that must be a new hotbed of prep basketball I'm not familiar
absolutely.
With. So you go from getting kids in
Ozarks
the top,
are huge.
You go from getting kids in the top 10 to the top 50, and now you're getting kids in 90 or above. Well, what happened? Yeah. You lost your best recruiter. True or false?
Well, it's absolutely true.
Well,
but Tom Crean's got a proven record as being able to develop guys. I mean, wasn't top 100.
It's been back and forth. I mean, alternating years. Big recruits, lower.
Tom Crean long time.
You get credit for it because it happened. Oladipo and Sheehy were both top 100 recruits or whatever the heck it was in an off year. And then the next year it was, another top end recruit. Look, it's back and forth in that regards. IU fans, to me, there's still a group here I can't figure out. Do they want them all to be Kentucky-type classes where they're all phenomenal? Or
no.
Do they want them to be guys that are here for 4 years
so that they can
have them and they can love them and they can watch them grow and all those sorts of
you
things?
You have to have a combination.
You've got to have a combination.
Yep,
clearly.
Agree,
I think to be at the top level, you have to have something in there.
If you've got 5 guys that are in seniors starting your team, you don't have a very good team.
Yeah, and if Perea is hurt right now, maybe he continues to improve with the rest of these guys, too.
Right.
But I don't think there's any question he did not expect his top line this year to be Troy Williams and Colin Hartman.
No, I didn't expect to lose Fisher. I get that. And you can't just replace. You can't just go out and recruit him in one fell. In 1 year. I mean, recruiting takes more than one time.
See, I'll disagree with that for two reasons. Number one, it is Indiana. You are a huge program. When Luke Fisher left at Christmas time last year, that gave you – however many months, and they got Emmett Holt out of the deal. Is that good or bad? I don't know. I'll tell you in 3.5 years from now, because he's going to be another kid that stays here 4 years.
Yeah.
Perea's going to be here 4 years. Yogi Ferrell's going to be here 4 years. Robert Johnson more than likely is going to be here 4 years.
Yeah.
Troy Williams, on the path he's on right now and the level of his consistency,
three.
Is going to be – well, that's if he has a Victor Oladipo Jr. year.
Yeah.
And unless they leave Hartman
and Holtz. Putting Williams next to Victor Oladipo is a very dangerous thing for Indiana fans.
Well it's another comparison. You've got to be careful.
Except for Crean's got a track record of making guys, wing guys, really, really good players. And usually by the time they're juniors.
It's another one of those comparisons where he's Victor Oladipo right now.
But
Victor Oladipo 2 years later was the number two draft pick in the league, and that's why it's unfair.
Victor Oladipo, people were hiding their eyes every time he shot the last game of his sophomore year,
which they're doing now for Troy.
Please don't do it.
Yeah.
So, again, we'll see how it develops, you're right. But when you look at it, you have to sprinkle in the players. You're exactly right. And when you turn over your staff, you've got then you're right. The head coach has to come in and start closing some deals and finding some players.
You know what? Jeremiah April and Tim Priller are one of two things right now. They are either guys who are going to see the writing on the wall and go elsewhere because they're not going to have any time, or they are going to be the stories that everybody loves here at Indiana over the years, and they are the guys that develop into something for their senior years. It's probably not the latter.
But I don't think it'll be the latter. My basic question was,
nobody
why
wants
not
to stay
fill
in
him with walk-ons? I mean, Ryan Burton has made more of an impact in Big Ten season than either one of those guys
in 5 minutes.
State.
I mean, that's the whole deal.
If we're worried about
he's also a third or fourth year player. I mean, didn't he play a couple years?
Yeah, but what did he come in and do? He just hustled.
Right.
He didn't dominate a game. He didn't get 10 or 15 points.
That's
in the
what
game
Colin Hartman does.
Rebounds.
Colin Hartman
got a couple
plays hard.
Offensive rebounds.
He didn't do anything against Illinois the other night.
And here's the reason why people should be optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. We just went through about 15 flaws in this Indiana basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're a little bit better than your record. Sometimes you're better than maybe your record shows you, and you just need to be patient.
All you got to do is look at Duke, the last game against Louisville. They won in Louisville in impressive place. The game before that against Miami, Florida, they couldn't find anybody on the court. They couldn't.
John, here's the most interesting thing to me about this team.
All Americans.
Without anybody in the middle, they have found ways to get teams to have to match up to them.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking advantage of the fact that we got nobody in there that can bang them.
Because Nebraska doesn't have a post player.
Well, that's fine. But
Illinois doesn't have a post player.
Most people don't have a post player.
Then why are we gnashing our teeth about not having a post player?
Well, I mean, it'll be because
you'd like to be balanced.
Used to having one.
Yeah.
You'd like to be balanced. And
Indiana, and you'd like to have one.
And you'd like a 6'10 guy should grab 5 rebounds rolling out of bed.
2015, the great experiment of shrinkage.
Well, part of that is self-inflicted. Part of it is fate, and Indiana's found a nice balance so far. John, give us a prediction tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, ESPNU.
Well, the last time I gave you a prediction, I was absolutely wrong. I thought they'd lose to Nebraska and beat Michigan State, and I was wrong on both accounts. But I think they're going to win by one, 79-78.
It's
going to be a hard game because they're going to have to cover guys for 40 minutes because this team doesn't quit. And they got guys that can all score.
Yep, and let's be fair. I mean, their defense has been improved, but it's been up against bad offenses.
And they may be right now the best team in the Big Ten, not just for their record.
They're healthy.
They may be the hardest team to play.
And they're healthy. Yeah. Another thing that a lot of teams can't brag about in this league. John, good job as always.
Thanks.
Go Hoosiers.
Thanks for the call, John.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Good perspective there. Again, it's it's all not roses in champagne. It's not. Can't be that way. There are things that need to be fixed. And, again, the record right now, enjoy it. 4-1 in the league. You're half game out of first. You're playing for first place tomorrow night.
It's clear it's a flawed team, but they're overcoming some of those flaws, so you take it either way, whichever way you trend, I suppose. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got high school basketball returning on Friday night with Owen Valley going to Edgewood for the black and blue rivalry. And that starts a little later, so note, Chalk Talk is 7:30 and tip off at 8 o'clock over there in Ellettsville for that big rivalry game. And then you got information on the Reds Carnival, caravan, that's this weekend,
yep.
Right? It's not a carnival, it's a caravan.
10:30 to 1:30, they'll stop by the College Mall. The event's free. Get your pictures taken with Mr. Red, autographs with Jeff Brantley, current player Billy Hamilton. Watch out, I'll steal your wallet because he steals all the bases. Glenn Bragg. former Reds player, and executive Dick Williams will be there amongst others on Saturday. It's free, so stop by, say hi. We're the official sponsor of Reds baseball, or official home for Reds baseball here in Monroe County.
So, yeah, we got the Reds all year long once again, and love having that here on WGCL.
All summertime.
That's right. And again, we'll have a Super Bowl for you, but that's not for another week and a half, so we'll cover that next week. In the meantime, though, Maryland comes to town tomorrow night. This is 17-2. Maryland, you got to be impressed by what they've done so far. 5-1 in the Big Ten, a well-rounded team, a deep team, throws bodies at you. The Hoosiers, again, they've been better defensively, but it's not been phenomenal. Let's be fair there. They have been hitting the boards. They're going to be tested there. And at the end of the day, they have managed to dictate size and some degree of style to teams other than Michigan State. Despite not having much of an inside game, they've found a way to make up for it. And again, they haven't gone up against a lot of great inside teams. But here's Maryland coming to town, so can they do it in this game is the whole question.
Anybody beats Michigan State twice in 2.5-3 weeks should have your attention. Clearly.
Yes, absolutely.
No arguments on that. The team that has five players in double figures wins the game on Thursday night. Why? That suggests balance.
It's only 50 points.
Oh, well, no, it's not. They can all have 30. They can be 150 points. The point of the matter is Indiana has to be balanced to win. Indiana doesn't win basketball games when Yogi Ferrell gets 29 and the next guy has 10. Right. It doesn't happen. They don't win that way. They're not set up to win that way. So what do they need? They need scoring from 5 to 7 players across the board, across the floor. Zeislav's got to come in and hit threes. Troy's got to quit. Don't take jump shots, Troy. Just dunk all the time.
Right.
It's an easy formula. Blackman's got to hit jumpers. Robert Johnson's got to get guys going to the basket. He's got to hit jump shots. You've got to have that balance across the board where Indiana can't be easy to guard, Dave. That's the thing. Maryland's got good players. Don't be easy to guard. Don't know the ball's going to go through Yogi. He's going to carry it. That doesn't work for Indiana. When they are balanced, they are awfully difficult to contain. That's why they lead the league in scoring, is that balance. Maryland, first time in Assembly Hall, first time ranked in the top 10 in some time. Two teams right now, not real sure how success goes. It's going to be an interesting matchup. You take the home team. Indiana's a 1-point dog at home. Thank you. Give me all the Indiana you can get. Free money tomorrow night. Hoosiers win by 10.
This is the game where Indiana can't have their poor shooting nights and their hiccups there and there. I got to play about as well as they have all year long to win this game. I think they do. What they do in Big Ten, or not in the Big Ten, but in Assembly Hall, is they beat Big Ten good teams, I should say.
11-2
teams.
Against the top 25.
That's what they've been doing, so
Facts.
Why won't they do it tomorrow Jax. Night? 83-78 is the final score at the end of the night. Hey, how about scoring points in basketball?
70
amazing,
or
right?
Over, you need to do it. That's a key number for them.
Hey, we are taking off. We'll be back Monday night, so tune in then. You've been in the zone. Yeah.